Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery.
In our first episode of 2013, we'll be talking about magic and healing. Happy New Year, and stay tuned.
Happy New Year, Lane!
Happy New Year!
Yay!
We actually spent New Year's Eve together.
We did. With a large group of people.
Yeah, a little party. It was fun.
Yeah.
Played Cards Against Humanity.
Introduced us to Cards Against Humanity. That was awesome.
That was the first time we've gotten to play in a big group, and it was so much fun.
It was really, really fun. Yeah. For those who don't know, do you want to explain just a little bit about what that is?
Well, if they've ever played Apples to Apples, it's much like that, where you're presented with a black card with kind of like a fill-in-the-blank, and then you have white cards, which are mostly nouns or, you know, funny
with
verbs.
Ideas, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And it's really raunchy and horrible, horrible things, but hilarious at the same time.
Right, and it can be anything from, like, you know, ritual circumcision could be one of the answers, or to, like, genocide in Rwanda. And so, like, the idea is that you're kind of playing in such a way as to offend and or entertain the maximum number of people, but also convince the person that is judging the cards for which one is best.
Yes.
You know, you want to influence them in a way that they will be most amused.
Yes, it was so funny. One of the white cards was Michelle Obama's arms.
Yes.
Loved that one.
That was great.
But yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was definitely a great way to spend the new year. So,
yes.
Have you started off your new, did you eat your black eyed peas and all that? Or some rice or something, or anything?
No, I didn't do that. No, I don't really eat things for, like, the new year.
You don't eat things?
No.
Just very wasting away.
I'm a waif. No. I'm the furthest thing from a waif. Okay. So,
but,
yes.
So tonight we're talking about magic and health and healing, which is something I think we've maybe, you know, brushed on here and there. I think, like, in the magical herbs episode, we may have talked a little bit about herbs for healing and things like that.
But, you know, it's funny. We've never really talked on it a lot. And I think a lot of that is because neither of us do much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, healing magic. So I guess we kind of felt like we didn't have much to say. But we finally decided it was time. And
we just kind of wanted to kind of go over, like, our opinions on, you know, Do we use magic for health and healing? We've sort of answered that.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. And then kind of why, you know, is it a matter of, like, oh, we just don't think it's effective, or is it a matter of it just doesn't occur to us?
You know, yeah.
What do we think is effective? What do we think, you know, where does magic fall in the healing spectrum?
Yes, for us anyway.
For us.
Oh, and also I've said this before, like on previous podcast, I want to just mention it again. Corey and I are recording over Skype, so if you hear any weirdness, then that might be it. So just bear with us in our busy time, and we can only get together via the internet.
The magic of the internet.
Yes.
I believe in that magic for sure. So.
Definitely.
Cool. Okay.
Right.
So where do you fall on this whole, like, magic as healthcare thing, and not even magic. Let's start even more generally than that. Like, one of the things I know that both you and I share in common is when we get a headache, for us to take medicine, it basically has to feel like tiny men are drilling out the backs of our eyeballs.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, and especially because I get migraines pretty mm-hmm. often. You know, if I don't nip a headache in the bud, it will get really, really bad. And I've also found if I go to sleep with one, I will wake up with a migraine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I'm so hesitant to take medicine, but I don't even know if this is true or not, but I feel like if I take things every time I feel a little twinge, I'll kind of build up a tolerance to it, and then it won't work when I really need it to.
Yeah, I have the same idea in my head. I mean, I know that that's it's one of those things that feels like it's almost pseudoscience.
Yeah, but I don't know if it is or not, but that's just kind of how I think about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and with that idea in mind, then, like, so what do you do when you're faced with the headache and, it's a little more than something you can just ignore, but it's not quite at that migraine level? How do you deal with that?
The first thing I do is take a shower.
Oh, okay.
A really hot shower. I take hot showers anyway, but this is like boil a lobster. And, again, this may be my own pseudoscience, but just kind of little things I've gathered. So, a headache is caused by, blood vessels in your head and not working kind of properly, I guess.
Like they overconstrict or overdilate or something.
Right. Yeah. So the hot water kind of sounds so stupid now that I'm saying it. Your feet get really hot and like you're standing up, mm-hmm. and it doesn't, if you're laying down, then I don't know, if I'm standing up, I feel like it's not collecting in my head. And again, it sounds like pseudoscience. So I realize that I'm sounding all woo woo, but it really does help me sometimes. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the science is behind it, but that's kind of like my thinking, I guess.
Yeah. If there's ever going to be an episode where we can be a little woo woo about, what we do and the crazy stuff, this is going to be it. Like, people have the weirdest healing remedies. This is like grandpa's mustard plaster on the chest.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, yes. And, there may be something to that. It's funny because, it sounds like, some of what you're talking about is based in some of these holistic healing methods. Like, you talked about, the blood in your feet.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me think of reflexology, and maybe like the fact that you're standing up and getting warm water on your feet, maybe that's sort of doing something in a reflexology way to improve your headache.
Maybe. I honestly don't know. That's just what I've kind of found to work for me. What do you do?
The first thing I try to do is give myself like a little neck massage,
mm-hmm.
And like just try to pinpoint spots that I know are overly tense and work those out.
Yeah. That's another thing I'll do too.
And then, obviously, I try to find, move away from the light, Carol Ann.
Yeah.
So,
this house is clean.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like I've got some sort of evil spirit in my head.
Yeah.
So, I try to find, dark place. Cold compresses sometimes help over the eyes or on the back of the neck.
Yeah.
This is terrible. A lot of times I will try to pop my neck or back, and that actually provides like 30 seconds to 2 or 3 minutes of relief.
That's odd.
Yeah.
So I can't pop my neck. I'm afraid I'm going to break my neck and fall over dead. Okay. Every time I see my husband do it, or even you, or your wife even, you both do it. And uh-huh. I'm always like, don't die. Don't kill yourself, please.
We're just going to be in the middle of a conversation one day. I'll pop my neck and keel over dead.
I'm so afraid you're going to snap your own neck.
That must make watching this Paranormal Activity movies really hard for you.
Oh, God.
Where she just, walks in and she's like, snap. Like opening a beer.
Yes.
So, seriously,
so that works for you?
It does. And then there's also, there's these tricks where, you can pinch between your... The flap of skin between your thumb and your forefinger. Psh. And if you hold that, it helps a little bit.
That has not worked for me. And then also, that reminds me of, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, I get motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy bad. Like, on an elevator, I get really bad motion sickness, and I step off, and it feels like the floor is still moving.
Mm.
If I'm on, I used to do a lot of technical theater.
Yeah.
With, building sets and things. And if there was a little floor, a little step up or something like that, mm-hmm. and it wasn't really supported and you could feel the sheets of wood or luan or whatever moving,
mm-hmm.
I would get sucked off of that. Just, incredibly, incredibly easily motion sick. So anyway, my whole point behind that is there are these bands you can buy that kind of pinch between the two, tendons on your wrist.
Uh-huh.
And that's supposed to help with motion sickness. And yeah, that didn't touch it at all, because I was in the backseat of a car about to throw up. So
yeah,
that pinching stuff does not work for me.
Yeah, no, that's... that. I've never tried it with that band. That band makes me think of... And we may have a few of these moments tonight where, you know, we're talking about things that already sound a little kooky, and then we'll go like, oh, but at least it's not as kooky as this thing. It makes me think of those bands that they sell, like, at infomercials where people are at the mall, and the guy puts it on the wrist, and he says, you know, hold your arms out. And the first time he does it, he pushes on their arm, and they topple over because their balance is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then he puts the wrist, the band on their arm and does it again, and they're suddenly corrects their balance. And you're like, well, but now they know that they know to expect it. They know what you're going to do. Of course they're going to balance.
Well, I've actually, like, seen an interview with a guy who used to work for one of those booths, and they do slightly different movements so that you are more balanced. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they don't push on your arm in the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
So just little things like that to trick you. It's a total scam.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got. I saw an episode of, don't judge me for this, but my wife likes to watch the Shark Tank, which is, if you don't know what that is, it's basically 4 or 5 millionaires deciding who to give money to for their startup businesses. And one of the guys that had made a variation of that same band and came in and tried to sell it to him, they ran him out of there on a rail.
Good.
they were like, no, we sell some scammy BS in our businesses, but that is too scammy for us.
We will not stoop that low.
Yeah, it was really like, and these are people who are pretty unscrupulous.
Yeah. I can't stand to watch that show. It makes me nervous or something. Like, I don't know, it's... They're too honest sometimes. I'm like, oh, I can't watch this.
Yeah, they really are brutal. But then, yeah, like, you see these people that make these... Like, there was this 15-year-old girl who basically... You know, he can buy those little jewelry making kits where, like, you can make your own rosin jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had parlayed that, and like, she'd started when she was 13, and by the time she was 15, she was bringing in like $5 million a year.
What?
In revenue, selling those things, and they invested in her company.
Wow.
Because it was like, no, you have a really good business model, so we'll invest in that and sell you on QVC. I was like, what? Anyway, all that is to say, there's some scammy stuff out there.
Yeah.
You mentioned that motion sickness. One of the things that I've done, and this will sort of segue us into another form of healing, when I have to do airplane trips, especially, or long car trips, I will chew on a clove.
Mm.
And that supposedly helps rebalance the inner ear fluid, which causes the motion sickness. And it also sort of creates this numbing effect, which is very nice.
Yeah, see, I'll just take some Dramamine and go to sleep.
Yeah, and this, I mean, this basically is like super mild Dramamine. But I don't know if it would be effective for you, because it sounds like yours is a pretty severe case of motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I used to get motion sick any time I would ride in a car or fly in an airplane, and this little trick has worked for me. But I mean, it could be a placebo effect too, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's something we'll definitely have to talk about, is placebo.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. But, I mean, before we get there, like, do you ever do any kind of herbal remedies or anything that's, like, you know, it's holistic, but it's based on, like, plant science or something like that?
The only thing I can think of is sometimes I'll use, like, a lavender body lotion before I go to bed to help me sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's about the only thing I can really think of.
Mm, definitely.
For, and that's not even really healing, but,
I don't know. But I mean, it's treating a condition, because, I mean, you've dealt with insomnia before, so.
Yeah, yeah, so that's...
It's in the ballpark.
I'm glad you see where I was going with that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I used to, when the kids were little and we were, you know, working on the sleep training and everything, I would use a couple of drops of lavender oil in there. Humidifier, because it's sleep, so that was good. And another, you know, but it's funny because neither of us turn to these sort of energy-based systems, which is sort of funny for me, because I don't know if you know this or not, but I've got my first attunement in Reiki.
Like, oh.
I had somebody that trained me in the first level of Reiki, and I never took it beyond that. But like, I almost never use that.
Dude, why have you not told me this? I would totally let you... That sounds really weird. I didn't even say it yet. I would
I totally let you Reiki me.
That's so gross.
You can Reiki me all night long. Choke Ray. Choke.
Oh, God. Anyway, moving on. That would be cool, though.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy to do it. And, like, I think it's a neat system.
I know next to nothing about it.
I mean, I only know what I know from the little training that I got. And then there's this series of books. The one I can remember the name of is called Hands of Light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically the Reiki system, but applied by Western nurses.
Oh.
And there was a group of nurses that trained in it and used it in their regular therapy. And that was pretty interesting. I mean, you know, it may be that it's a placebo thing, but it seemed to improve the patient's health. So I thought that was kind of neat. And then one thing I've always wanted to try, you know, in the same vein is like Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really would love to like do acupuncture at some point.
I know this blogger that I read, she has done it and it works for her apparently. She has some form of arthritis or something like that. Mm. That really helps her. So random, but I don't know. It kind of made me think about it too. Just because I have pain in my back and, you know.
Yeah.
The other things. They say it's supposed to help with migraines too, right?
Yeah, supposedly it can help with it can help with all these crazy things. Like I would like to do it as, you know, part of a, I don't want to call it like weight loss because it's not exactly it, but like sort of appetite control.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the thing is like, I exercise, but I don't do a great job of portion control. Mm-hmm. And like I would love to see if acupuncture could do any of that. So.
See, I wasn't even aware that it was really for like or could be used for mind/willpower type stuff. I thought it was mainly physical stuff.
I think it's supposed to be mainly physical stuff, but I've seen it applied to both weight loss and stopping smoking.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know if that's effective. I did not use it to stop smoking. I used nicotine gum for a month and then quit and was cranky for another 2 or 3 months and that was it.
I use good old-fashioned cold turkey.
Yeah, that was a pain in the ass. Anyway. So there's a lot of stuff out there that I think would be neat and that I'd love to try, but I just haven't had a chance to do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, because, like, I'm not dubious of doctors. I'm not dubious of medical practitioners for the most part. I'm very dubious of pharmaceutical companies, but yeah. It's a whole other animal.
I think that's another thing with going back to the original like thing we were talking about with taking medicine. I think I'm just dubious of what I'm taking, period. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if this interacts with this or, you know, like, I don't know. I just worry about it a lot.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. Like, I don't know. I get very hesitant about a lot of pharmaceutical stuff that's out there. Because it's one of those things where I feel like there's pharmaceuticals are not a one-size-fits-all deal. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dosage levels for every person, I feel like, would naturally shift by body chemistry. And so, like, it's hard for me to understand how, like, taking a certain amount of a certain drug is as effective for one person as it is for another. And I know that's why doctors adjust dosages and everything, but it still feels a little, it feels very imperfect to me.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Chinese medicine, they're very, I mean, my understanding, which is purely an outsider's understanding, but my understanding is it's very based on, like, that the Chinese physicians' recommendations based on their knowledge of the patient, and like they get very into, you know, like, oh, well, you'll have to change your diet in this way to allow you to use this medicine, and like there's a lot of components to it.
Hmm.
So, but that could be completely inaccurate. If anybody knows anything about Chinese medicine, please feel free to write to us. I think we have a couple of listeners that do, actually, so we'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
So, energy healing. got sidetracked there, but energy healing, magic, basically that's, to me, that's kind of that magic healing, right?
Yeah.
So, do you think that that is effective?
Well, it either is or it isn't.
It depends.
You know? New World Witchery, it depends. It either works or it doesn't, right? I mean, at least with health, you can usually see a measurable improvement or not. Or an improvement, I guess.
A change. You
can see change. Just some sort of change.
Like, one of the things I was thinking is, you know, do I think lighting the appropriate candle will cure cancer? You know? Or do I think, like, lighting the appropriate candle will accelerate the process of curing cancer? Or do I feel like lighting a candle is a placebo and helps to keep somebody in a positive frame of mind so that cancer treatment is more effective? You know, like, it's hard for me to nail down where I fall on that spectrum. And I'm curious, I will bounce the question to you. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I don't think me lighting a candle is going to cure cancer. However, I don't think it's totally without effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think focusing your energy and your thought onto something, whether it be positive or negative, usually, you know, gives that that thing more weight or more, what am I trying to say? I really think it can affect change.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's a placebo or not, I don't know, but.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think you're, like, I don't think either of us are going to come out and say, like, you know, lighting the candle cures the cancer. So I don't think we're at that end of the spectrum for ourselves. There may be some people who are at that end of the spectrum. And, you know, I don't think either of us are saying that they're wrong or that we're judging them. It's like, sort of like, if that works, we would love to see that kind of a thing.
Well, and I'm sure other people work in healing magic a whole lot more than we do, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And so they may have the talent, the skill to
do that.
Yeah. So, but I think for both of us, it sort of tends towards, if not a placebo, sort of a, not psychological, but the magic is part of a more holistic process.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, magic is, to me, I guess, is all thought focused into change, I guess, into affecting change. And, well, thought and energy, anyway. So, you know, why not direct that towards healing or a headache?
Sure.
It's funny, though. I've never really, we had talked about this a little bit before we started recording. I never get a headache and think, dang, I need to go do a spell, but maybe now I will, you know? Maybe I need to start doing that.
Yeah, or, you know, even just think, like, you know, like, maybe if, when you're not, maybe, well, you know, if you're not sick, if you don't have a headache, and you, you know, think about it at that point in time, you're like, you know what? The last time I got a migraine, it really sucked. I'm going to make something, like a talisman or a charm, that I can carry with me, and then whenever I feel a headache coming on, like, just touch that, and it'll help dissipate the headache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just something that, you know, that you can use repeatedly. I don't know. I'm not against, like, absolutely I'm not against trying that out or using that. And here's the thing, is, like, I've seen some pretty crazy stuff when it comes to healing magic. Like, I think I've told you about the Bloodstopper charm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've used that, and I've been like, holy shnikes, like, that's incredibly, it's eerie, it's really eerie to see that work. And so, you know, maybe there is a placebo component to that, but it's one of those things that if you see it actually happen in front of you, it sort of, I don't know, it undercuts the entire idea of the placebo effect. You're like, no, I really did see this. Maybe there's more going on than what I'm seeing. But based purely on observation, this physical effect happened with this simple sort of chant or spell.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened, and what do I make of that?
Well, it's okay. I'm having like five different thoughts going in my head. So first of all, that tells me of the power of words and the power of thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I also think about the placebo effect, and I think, is it a placebo if it works, you know? I mean, okay, so you give me a sugar pill and you say, okay, that's going to make your headache go away like that, and it does. Well, okay, yeah, it was just a sugar pill, and yes, it was just in my mind, but my mind just cured my own headache, you know? Like, how freaking cool is that?
Yeah,
which,
absolutely.
Which, again, speaks to me about the power of our mind and energy and thought, you know? So I don't think placebos are necessarily a bad thing. I mean, not that you said they were, but I don't know. My head's going in five different directions.
No, I totally see what you mean. Like, when we use the word placebo in common conversation, a lot of times it sounds like we're saying, oh, it's a fake cure, or it's not.
Right, or it's snake oil or something like that.
Right. And you know, I love me some snake oil. But but no, like, yeah, you're right. It's like we use the term placebo, but all it means is sort of mystery effect ingredient. You know?
Right.
Like, it's something that shouldn't have an effect, but, you know, either does or doesn't. And when it does, it's always really remarkable that it has the effect it does, because it means that there's some unknown, there's some X factor going on. And usually it seems to have something to do with, like you said, our mind or our willpower or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool.
Yeah, and again, I say, if it works, then I don't care if it's a sugar pill. At least it worked.
Yeah, know? Absolutely.
So I guess I feel that way about, you know, Reiki or acupuncture or whatever. If it if it works, even if it's only like me thinking, okay, this is going to work, then I guess it's worth paying the doctor to stick needles all over me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know, it's literally like, I don't trust big pharmaceutical, but you can put 1,000 steel pins in my body. I am A-okay with that.
Oh, that's so absurd. I love it.
And weirdly, it is exactly the kind of person I am. It's just, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, so, how funny.
Yeah.
We're a bundle of contradictions here.
We are indeed. We live paradoxes because we are witches. So.
Hi, this is JP, formerly known as Sonoran Green with A Pagan in Portland. I'm coming to you now with a new show, Cosmophilia. Cosmophilia is a spiritually centered segment-based show that is a mosaic of music, wellness, medicinal modalities, astrology, tarot, herbalism, symbology, writing and skits, as well as notes on living, informational topics, and philosophical pieces. You can find me at Cosmophilia on iTunes, Libsyn, and online at cosmophilia.us. Join me as I journey to connect the heart with the heavens.
From where we stand between the stars above and the earth below, we encounter all the mysteries of magic, myth, and modern science. Join me, Oriah Helene, for Between the Earth and Stars, a new evolution of the show previously known as Media Astra Actera, a monthly podcast weaving together astrology and astronomy, mineralogy and metaphysics, magic, meditation, and mystical musings on life. You can find the show on iTunes or visit the Temple of the Earth and Stars at www.earthandstars.org. Bright and dark blessings be with you where you stand between the earth and stars.
So, you know, in terms of, like, using magic, you said that, you know, maybe you'll try it for headaches. Are there things that you know, like, if X disease came up, you're like, nope, I'm going to the ER, see ya. Like, there's, I do not stop at the occult shop on the way to the doctor's office.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what are those for you?
Well, okay, knock on wood. I'm actually knocking on wood right now. I don't get sick very much.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing I get is migraines, but I rarely get vomity or flu or, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would pretty much have to be it. Like flu, lots and lots of throwing up, that type of thing. But usually I'm just like, nah, I'll stick it out. But I don't necessarily think, oh, I'm going to go to the occult shop either. You know, I'm just like, right. I'll ride it out.
Right, yeah, no, yeah, that was sort of an exaggeration. But, like, even, I gotta know, like, there's the idea that, like, I don't know, like, I do remember, I've remembered at times, like, trying to imagine myself, like, covered with healing energy when I feel pretty crummy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, seeing if that's effective. And I don't ever remember it having an effect other than, like, I think I tend to fall asleep while I do those kinds of visualizations.
Yes.
So, that helps. But yeah. No, I don't know. It's interesting, because, like, the flu, I don't know. Like, now I'm thinking about it just in a weirdly etymological way. I'm thinking, like, it comes from the word influenza, mm-hmm. because they thought it was caused by the moon. It's not like, ooh, I bet there's a really cool flu spell you could do with the moon.
That would be pretty cool, yeah.
So, anyway, that's totally a sidetrack, I apologize.
Well, I have a little theory for why we don't do much healing type stuff.
Okay.
Alright, so healing stuff is mostly, well, you know, in and of the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here lately, especially, we are much more, like, practical workers.
Uh-huh.
We do things with our hands more than necessarily thought work, I guess.
Sure.
So I really think that might be part of why we don't feel a connection to it or really turn to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think that is the case?
I think that's a really good observation. I mean, like, you're right, because if it's not something that we can, if it's not something I can stick a badger tooth and a lucky penny in, I'm doing it.
If you can't touch a dead cow's tongue, then you don't want anything to do with it.
And it ain't real magic, son. Oh, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. But yeah, no, there's this, yeah, I have to have something that can physically manifest for me to feel comfortable. Well, not even for me to feel comfortable, for me to be interested in doing magic. Like, I have to have these physically manifesting both practices for the magic, and then results have to be physical, too.
Yeah.
And so for healing, it's a little more difficult, because in most cases, you're going to heal anyway, you know, or you're not. So
right.
It's hard to know, you know, if what you're doing is effective. But then, like, so, okay, so that brings up the question of, we've been talking about this largely as self-healing, right?
Yes.
And so that brings me into this idea of healing for others. And that makes me think of this story that just happened this past weekend, actually. I was, every week, my wife and I, we buy the donuts for church. For, like, after you have church, you have to have donuts, apparently. So we get the donuts, and I have to take the donuts to the downstairs basement, and I have to cut every donut in half because you want the donuts to go a little further, and blah, 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 and kids don't need a whole donut, and all that kind of thing.
That's a lot of work.
Do what?
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not that bad. it's fun, actually. I kind of enjoy doing it. And there's one of the women at our my wife's church. She does the coffee in the downstairs room, and so she was making coffee down there, and she's super sweet, and we talk all the time. Well, she had set the pot to full, and so it started to overflow, and she heard it hissing and overflowing, and she ran to grab the pot, and she grabbed the pot out of it and put it down, and realized that she had let scalding hot water pour over her hand while she was grabbing the coffee pot. And so it instantly started causing these, like, you know, this sort of redness and starting to cause a blister and everything like that. And so she's running under cold water. You know, I'm telling her, you know, oh, well, there's this thing that you could do, this thing that you could do in terms, not magically, but because it didn't occur to me to do magic at that point. Mm-hmm. But I did start thinking of, like, crazy home remedies, you know?
Yeah. You didn't tell her to rub butter on it, did you?
I did not tell her to rub butter on it. I did tell her to, if she had any baking soda, that can be useful
mm-hmm.
For treating burns. But anyway, it occurred to me, like, after she had done that and she was running into cold water, I was like, you know, I do know, I have this, you know, basically this Brocker charm that I know for taking the heat out of a burn. It wouldn't necessarily heal it instantly, but it would make it stop hurting. But I couldn't bring myself to be like, hey, can I do a spell on your hand?
You should have. You totally should have phrased it, let me say a prayer.
You know, and I probably could. The thing is, with this particular denomination, that would get almost as much of an askance look as, hey, can I do a spell on your hand?
Well, not... Okay, your wife's denomination is the same one that I grew up in. However, they are very, very different.
They are. They are absolutely different. So, all I'm saying is, like, there are some people who I could have said that to in that church, and they would have said, yeah, that's totally fine. And there's some people who, you know, take a much more scientific approach to things like that.
Okay, so here's my question. Would you feel that it would be ethical to say it under your breath, maybe, over her? Or, like, she wouldn't know?
By ethical, do you mean, did I actually do that?
No, I'm not asking that. Did you?
You
son of a gun, I knew you would.
It didn't occur to me until, like, later, but I did start, and I'm hoping, I don't think anybody from that church is listening to this podcast, but if they are, then I'm about to get in trouble, so.
Would they know about it?
I don't know. Like, and the thing is, like, it is, you know, it's framed in a fairly Christian prayer format. It's not, I don't think it's offensive. It was not intended to be offensive. It was just, like, I could tell it hurt her, and as soon as I thought, it was like, oh, that's what I wish I wish I could have taken her hand and found a way to do this. Mm-hmm. And so instead of doing that, like later on, I was, you know, like 5 minutes later thinking about it while I was up in the sanctuary, and I started under my breath doing the little spell, little prayer, and hoping it's helping her. But I don't know if it did or not. I have no concept of that. So all of that really roundabout story is a way of saying, like, you know, it did occur to me to do magic. It was not the first thing that occurred to me in that situation.
Yeah,
but occur to me to do magic.
That's just practical, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, it was one of those situations where I kind of wonder, like, what do you think, you know, if you knew that kind of a spell off the top of your head, would you think to do that for somebody? Or, like, does it depend on context every time? Like, how do you approach that?
I guess it's context. I don't know. I'm always... If the mundane will fix it first, mm-hmm. then great. And if not, then I turn to magic.
Ah, okay, so that's very interesting.
So I almost, like, I almost don't want to... This sounds funny. I don't want to bother, like, whatever spirit or higher power with mm-hmm. my mundane bullcrap. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, for example, this is really funny, actually. But I thought about, like, making a mental note to tell you about this. So what a perfect time. I recently got a jigsaw puzzle. I love puzzles. I haven't done one in probably years, like a really hard one. And I got one that's, like, you know, 1,000 pieces, and it's, you know, little ones, and a lot of the colors are the same. You know, it's a hard puzzle. And I'm really enjoying putting it together. So I'm looking for this one particular piece, and I know exactly what is supposed to be on it, and I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm searching through the box, and
you I finally
said my little find it spell, and boom, there it was. I am not joking. It was right there, and I was like, son of a bitch, that worked! So that's the only time I've done that, just that one time for that one particular puzzle piece. But, you know, I've used that spell before, but it was just funny, like, to me, because I don't usually think to do that, but nothing else was working. I was looking and looking, and I couldn't find that stupid piece, and then it worked, you know?
Right. That's interesting. So this kind of opens up the discussion a little bit, but it sounds like, you know, both of us have this, rather than magic as our first line of defense, we sort of almost treat it like last resort sometimes.
Yes, that is very much how I see it.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I don't know why. I guess...
Well, I think you were onto it when you said, like, you don't want to... Like, do I dare disturb the universe is kind of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do I trouble the gods over my headaches?
Right.
Do I bother St. Anthony to find this puzzle piece, or is he busy, you know?
Maybe he's busy with somebody's child. I don't know, you know?
Exactly. We don't want to distract him. So, I don't know. It's interesting. It's very interesting. Well, yeah, so, okay. Yeah, so in doing magic for other people then, just that raised a couple of other issues, though. Like, obviously I was not, like, thinking, I'm going to cure her and then charge her a hefty fee. Like, that was never in my mind. Like, but... there is always a question of, like, you know, people charging for magic, not charging for magic. But with healing magic, there seems to be a really sort of strict prohibition about that.
Yeah.
Like, people get really spiky about charging for healing magic of any kind. What do you think about that?
I've, to be perfectly honest with you, not really thought that much about it.
Mm.
I've noticed that, though. It's a taboo, almost.
It is.
In the community.
Yeah, and in several communities, I think. Like, it's... I mean, I think even people who are, you know, I don't want to say amoral, but, like, morality doesn't enter into the picture as much with magic.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, like, I think healing magic is just one of those things that sort of falls by, you know, even in the most, I don't know, like, unorthodox situations... it seems like it's not a matter of you pay money for healing work. It's more of a, you know, they'll bring you a basket of jam, you know?
Yeah.
Something like there's a very in-kind donation kind of a thing that happens, except with alternative healing therapies. Like, you know, acupuncture, you clearly pay for that.
Yeah, I think it's funny, like, in our... in our community, mundane community, in like the, I guess human beings, or the U.S. even, doctors get paid an exorbitant amount.
Mm-hmm.
Which they should, because, you know, they're highly trained and educated on certain things that I have no idea about, but...
and have malpractice insurance that is insanely expensive.
Yes. So, I don't know, I just think that contradiction is really funny.
Right, and then, yeah, and then... you know, the alternative therapies, I mean, not that they're making exorbitant amounts of money or anything like that, but, like, there are definitely some of the shadier ones that are like, you know, here are the 6 crystals that will, you know, realign your chakras and cure your cancer kind of a thing, and then it'll only cost you $12,000, you know. We have those people that are out there that can really milk somebody dry of money because they're selling snake oil. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. Like, I wonder if we're afraid to be lumped in that group.
Maybe. I guess, yeah, that's probably a lot of it.
Yeah. Like, because we know that we're not going to ever be, you know, put into a lab to analyze whether or not our candle to, you know, whatever spirit, to Asclepius, you know. Did that happen to cure my psoriasis? I don't know. So, you know, we're not going to be able to medically study that, so we can't verify the effects, and therefore we're afraid to, I don't know, enter into commerce with it because we're afraid that makes it look like practicing medicine without a license. And
yeah. Well, I definitely am seeing that then, yeah. Because at first I was kind of like, well, you know, what's the harm if someone does something that works, but what if it doesn't? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of layers there that I think are that make it tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it is interesting that even in societies where that's that fear is diminished a little bit, like traditional healers, they're not usually charging flat fees so much as, you know, people just bring them things, or, you know, money gets kind of left for them.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting to me. It's hard for us to monetize magic for other people's healing, I think.
Oh yeah.
What about like non-healing health issues, like things like I mentioned, you know, doing acupuncture for weight loss, but you know, and you mentioned insomnia with the lavender and like so stress management, things like that. Like, do you ever think about using magic? Well, clearly. The lavender is maybe not magic, but is related to magic.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, you would be more likely to use magic in one of those situations?
I think so, because, again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's more in the head, and I think stress, while it manifests in your body and like, tight shoulders or something like that, is in your head. And weight loss, again, while it's on your body, it's a physical side effect. A lot of it, for a lot of people, myself included, is willpower and, you know, the emotional reasons behind eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband, God love him, he, like, food is fuel to him. You know, he eats what he has to. He eats mm-hmm. well. And he can say no and put things down. And if there is a cookie in the kitchen, mm-hmm. I know it, and I know where it is, and I know it is calling to me. And I don't feel like a happy person until I have eaten that damn cookie, you know? So it's just, yeah. It's very much in my head. So yes, I think I would turn to that more than I would for, like, say, a cut, than, mm-hmm. because it's more of a willpower thing for me than mm-hmm. it is for, you know, a strictly physical. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of thought that was where you were going with that. And you know, when you mentioned earlier on that it was, not that it's all mental for you, but that definitely the mind has a huge part to play in that. Like, I was thinking, like, oh, well, that means that it's probably going to be more effective for you to do those kind of, those sorts of, you know, for lack of a better term, spells, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, is it something that, like, how comfortable are you with doing magic for those kind of things? Like, do you feel like, again, it's the last resort, or is that something that you feel more like, if I have 5 minutes, I wouldn't mind doing magic for that?
I'm definitely more comfortable with doing magic for that. I remembered a spell I did last year at the kind of the start of the new year, or it might have been on my birthday, just because, you know, that's a new year for me. Where I kind of wanted to just change things around, you know, get to bed earlier, you know, just move more, basically, you know, all mm-hmm. that including exercising and cleaning up the house more, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just general motivation type of spell, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't say that it really worked, but then again, I set myself like certain parameters to kind of come back to it. Like, I would have to come back and light this certain candle, and, you know, like, it's just something that I came up with. It wasn't that I read in a book or anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I necessarily kept up with that.
Okay.
So
it's like the vinegar jar that I did. It's like, I cursed the living crap out of this guy. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, his life isn't any worse. Oh, I haven't been doing the vinegar jar. Oh, well.
Well, maybe you just had to get your meanness out on the jar, and then that was that.
Yeah, so interesting. So that's neat. I don't know. As we, you know, I remember when I first started reading, you know, the Scott Cunningham Earth, Air, Fire, Water books and things like that. I remember seeing, like, certain things in there that always sort of, you know, made me do the Stewie Griffin head motion at times.
Okay.
Like, he had a specific sigil for, like, breaking addiction, and you know, and he had, like, you know, weight loss ones. And those ones were always very, not off-putting, but they just seemed like ones that I sort of set aside as soon as I read them.
Really?
Yeah, like, I just instantly put them aside. They were just not interesting to me. But as I've gotten older, I've felt more and more like, you know, I can see the purpose there. I can mm-hmm. see the way that works. And I think that you're right. You know, I'm not going to say it's like a placebo effect exactly, but I definitely think that there is, with self-healing, there's a mental component, at least.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I've also seen, like, you know, crazy cut healing with...
Right, yeah, with, it's... So, I'm sure it's different for you when you've actually seen the physical effects yeah. work.
Yeah, so, it's strange. And, I mean, I think one thing that, you know, we didn't make a disclaimer that I think we should have made probably at the outset of the show, which is neither of us are doctors or medical professionals of any kind, so nothing we are saying is to be taken as medical advice. Please.
I really hope people would have figured that out by now.
Oh my God, but you never know. I just want to be very clear about that.
I guess that's about all I have to expound upon. What about you?
Yeah,
you anything else to add?
No, that's about it for me. Yeah, but this is, I mean, I've enjoyed this, and it's fun to get to talk about this kind of stuff where, you know, you and I are more or less in the same place on a lot of stuff. And this is one of those areas where we have a lot of overlap, and there's some areas I think we were slightly different, but I don't think we necessarily are in line with the rest of our community.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
But we're also not in line with, you know, mainstream American thought on the subject either, so.
Oh my gosh, my boss bugs me to death. Every time I get a headache at work, or I'm starting to get one, like I can start to feel it in my shoulders or neck or something, mm-hmm. Oh, take three. And I'm like, I don't need three, but thank you. And I tell her every time, I don't like to take medicine like that. You know, I'll wait and see. It could go away, it could get worse, we'll see. And she's like, I just take it right away. And I'm just not that way, you know?
Yeah.
So no. I think a lot of people are very much, oh crap, you know, take it.
Yeah, there are people, you know, they're basically carrying around, you know, Valium in their purse to deal with, you know, whatever comes their way. And it's just like I'm just not that person, you know, and that's an exaggeration a little bit as well. Mm, but,
yeah,
you know, even, you know, people that have the little pill bottles full of, you know, various types of headache medicine or whatever, like it's I'm just not the person who does that. You know, if I'm caught out without medicine, like my inclinations are, okay, massage, cold compress, darkness, drink more water, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just go through everything except the medicine.
Yeah.
It takes me until it's like, oh my God, my eyes are about to literally melt out of the sockets. I have to take, I need to take half of an ibuprofen. Right.
Half.
I will go lick an Advil. See what happens. So, yeah, but it'd be at the same time, like, as resistant as I am to that, like, it's funny to me that it just doesn't occur to me to be like, yeah, I need to, you know, start carrying magical healing charms on my person more often.
Which is funny, because you think that a lot about a lot of things.
I do. I carry tons of, like, mojo bags and stuff all the time.
I don't know how they're not, like, all hanging from your belt loop.
Now you're just making fun of me.
Yeah, a little bit.
This conversation's over. I don't want to talk about this no more. So, yeah, that was fun. So that's it for our magical healing episode.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed it.
We hope you all feel healed and refreshed by the sound of our voices. We'd like you to imagine a beautiful green glow coming out of your earbuds right now.
And coming out of your nose.
We always go for the gross. Always. Anyway, yeah, really enjoyed this discussion with you, Lane. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
It went longer than I thought it could, you know? I had more opinions than I thought I did.
We always do. But, so if you want to find out more, if you want to write to us and serve us legal documents about practicing medicine without a license, you can do that by emailing firelight@incitingariot.com. I'm kidding. No, if you want to find us, if you want to email us, our email is compassandkey@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. There's always a website, which is newworldwitchery.com.
Mm-hmm. Or you can follow us on the Twitter, and that is NWWitchery, with a little at sign in front of it. I think that's it. Oh, contest. We've got a contest going on.
Oh, that's right. I did.
Good. I'll just give a, you know what, there's a link in the show notes, there's three baskets full of prizes, go check it out. Basically, it's sending us some lore, but yeah, check out the link in the show notes to find out more about this. It's an awesome contest. You have until the end of March to send us something, so.
Yeah, and no fair doing magic to hope that we'll pick your name, okay?
Totally fair doing magic to hope your name. Totally, that's, do it. But write to us about it and tell us.
But then everybody does it, and it's exactly the same playing grounds again. I mean, even playing field.
Or is it?
Or is it?
Whose magic is strongest?
Yes, this has turned into, like, Thunderdome.
I'm thinking Wizard's Duel, you think Thunderdome.
Well.
the Mets.
Thunderdome sounds so much more dramatic.
It does. I guess until next time, we'd just like to say very much thank you for listening.
Definitely. Be well.